From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Dr. Jin Kwan Yu from the Scripps Research Institute is interviewed by Gen's editor-in-chief John Sterling about a new kitchen chemistry approach to complex pharmaceutical synthesis.
Dr. Jin Kwan Yu is an associate professor in the Department of Chemistry at the Scripps Research Institute in La Jolla, California. Dr. Yu's research focuses on the discovery and rational design of new reactions through carbon-hydrogen bond activation. His group's ultimate goal is to develop catalytic reactions to parallel enzymatic transformations in terms of reactivity and selectivity. Dr. Yu, carbon-hydrogen bonds are abundant in naturally occurring organic molecules. Why are they of particular interest to chemists and commercial drug manufacturers?
I think from what we are doing, perhaps there are a number of aspects that I can put down. And the first one, I think, is, you know, if you think about it, for any drug, for too many manufacturing any drugs, involves a different degree of maneuver and, you know, try to introduce the complexity of different level to from a relatively simpler molecule. So it turns out, if you replace the carbon hydrogen bond with a carbon carbon bond or carbon hydrogen bond, that is a step up towards the next level of complexity. So here you can see the connection, right? And the second aspect is, quite often you have a scenario, you have a drug molecule, a candidate, made from several steps, but maybe the efficacy is not good enough. And then either you go back to start over again to make a different molecule, or nowadays you can also look at the molecule and you see many CH bonds. If somehow you can just break some of those CH bonds in this drug candidate and then replace them with another specific carbon hydrogen bond or carbon-carbon bond you desire, then perhaps by one step you could come up with a new molecule with better efficacy. And that is the second aspect that could really be useful for drug discovery. And maybe the third aspect, I would say, is more fundamental of kind of depending which how you look at it. But in my view, it's very important too. That is, these days we can make a drug pretty much as much, you know, whatever you can think of or design, we can always make it. But we're doing much less well if we think about, can we make it from really, really simple and abundant, you know, starting material. And sometimes we just cannot handle. And one of the fundamental reason is those simple molecules quite often have more carbon hydrogen bonds, and you just don't have much handle to do the reaction because this carbon hydrogen bond is hard to break. So if you can do that, that would, you know, obviously allow you to make drugs from simpler starting material. And that's actually one of the major aspects we are trying to focus upon.
Exactly, and I know that was the topic of your paper, and we're going to get to that in a minute.
That's right.
But I want to pick up on your last point that a key issue for the pharma industry is how best to break carbon-hydrogen bonds and then create new carbon-carbon bonds to join molecules together.
Right.
Would you go over again why that's such an important concern for the pharmaceutical people?
Right. So if specifically for carbon-carbon bond, you can imagine for most of the drug molecule, I would say the backbone are always made up of carbon-carbon bond. And to a great extent, you can also say the complexity of a molecule really can be measured by how many carbon-carbon bonds you have and also how they are joined together. So you can see it's a very important component, a carbon-carbon bond in a complex molecule. So therefore, if you have a new method to break a CH bond and make a new carbon-carbon bond, that would, you know, it's the fastest way, I would say, to build in the complexity of a given molecule that you desire to make.
Currently, to forge carbon-carbon bonds in place of carbon-hydrogen bonds, chemists rely heavily on a method called Mazurki-Heck reaction. Could you describe how this technique works? And also, what are the advantages of this methodology? And what's the downside to going that route of the Mazurki-Heck reaction?
Yeah, the key trick, I would say, of this Mazurki-Heck coupling is you try to install carbon halides first onto a molecule, and then you use that as a handle, and then you can, you know, stick at that position with another fragment that you wish to attach by using a metal catalyst. And that is very, very powerful. And one of the most, I would say, the biggest strength of this reaction is the reliability. You can always, you know, make it happen as long as you can install the halide at the right position. But then at the same time, that comes with the downside that it's not necessarily always easier in many complex, you know, precursor or molecules how to install halides. That means how do you replace a carbon hydrogen bond with a carbon halide bond? And remember that quite often you have many, many carbon hydrogen bonds to choose from, and then it's not easier to actually selectively break a particular CH bond you wanted and install a carbon halide bond there. And to do that, sometimes that could take many, many steps, and that is maybe one of the major downsides, you know. But otherwise, it's a very powerful and reliable chemistry.
You and your team have come up with a more efficient and more economical technique for breaking carbon-hydrogen bonds, according to the study we're talking about. In fact, either you or someone on your team referred to it as a kind of kitchen chemistry. Could you describe your new approach and what benefits it offers over the current methodology?
I think, first of all, that, as I said, this methodology is particularly useful when you have problems installing the carbon halide at the right position. Then you can think about using this strategy. But as I said, to break a CH bond in the first place, particularly with a broader use for substrate, is not trivial. And that has been one of the major problems we have been working with. And in this paper, what we disclosed is we can use a very simple technique to promote the CH activation, which is just by simply making a salt of the carboxy acid. And that is one of the major discovery that has made this technology possible. By simply making a carboxy acid salt, then you can break the CH bond selectively at certain point. But then that is still not good enough, because that reactivity is, first of all, not good enough. And secondly, the selectivity quite often is not good enough, because when you have two CH bonds in a similar position, it's very hard to distinguish. Then we developed a ligand can actually solve these two problems. They can accelerate the reaction and then also guide us to break the CH bond you wanted. So that to some extent, solved this problem to some extent. But then if you're asking what's the advantage, is that we then don't have to worry about how to install a halide, at least in this major class of substrate, which is carboxy acid, in a large class of it's a major class of synthetic useful compound, phenylacetic acid and their analogs.
Michael Rogers is the director of the Pharmacology, Physiology, and Biological Chemistry Division at the NIH's National Institute of General Medical Sciences. Regarding your study, he had this to say: the new method will have important downstream consequences for the production of new drugs, spurring diversification of medicinal compounds, and lowering costs. Dr. Yu, how do you think your research will bring about the changes in pharmaceutical production and manufacture that Rogers referred to in his statement?
Yeah, I think this is a very positive and perhaps optimistic statement, but we are confident that, you know, by keep working on this, perhaps we will prove this to be true, you know. And in fact, at the moment, we are expanding our collaboration with many pharmaceutical industry. Actually, we are getting into the process of helping drug discovery and, you know, using our technology in a few cases, and hopefully the outcome will be in the form of new drug candidates. And at that point, and hopefully we can then discuss this, you know, in a real substantially maybe.
But let's pick up on that point a little bit more. So in terms of downstream consequences in the production of drugs and new drug discovery, could you be a little more specific about what you've been able to do with this, I believe, a derivative acetic acid, which you described before? Mm-hmm. Okay. How would this actually assist in drug discovery and pharmaceutical production?
So one very simple example is, actually it turns out we have been given a large number of drug candidates that is not good enough, but they do have the moiety of this carboxy acid on their drug candidate. So what we are going to do is actually to use this technology and modify by one step, but we can then generate a large number of candidates which they probably wouldn't make it before, because it would take too many steps to generate. So now then they can test those new molecules, and hopefully we may increase the chances of getting a better molecule for the drug candidate.
Now, picking up on this research study, which you just reported, what are the next steps that you and your group have in mind to move your research findings to the next level?
There are many challenges that we needed to address. So the first one, I think, is we really, really needed to reduce further the catalyst loading. At the moment, we're using already 2%, as we report in one of the tables. But really, we would like to go down to 0.1 or 0.5, and that is something we really would like to do. And the second one is we really would like to expand it to SP3, that is aliphatic acid, and using the same technology. So you can make SP3, CH and CC coupling with the olefin. At the moment, we're just doing SP2 CH bond. And that, I think, is going to be a big, big jump, really important for broadening the utility. And finally, we really would like to actually also control the enantiomer selectivity, and we have some very exciting preliminary results now already in our lab. But all those three challenges would really depend upon improving the ligands, that is the simple amino acid ligands. But fortunately, this amino acid ligand is such a versatile backbone, and we can modify them in such a flexible way. So hopefully we will generate a good library of this type of ligand, and then we will try to modify, improve their reactivity. And but all those challenges, I think, eventually would depend upon discovering the next generation of more effective ligands.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghouse, saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.